Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Wow. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1 just for a moment. Thanks to the body for the great week we had. We actually uprooted or, we were sent over to Europe, and the body of Christ ministered so much through this past week. More than 1,000 people came together, and we broke bread and had fellowship, and prayers are answered, and a lot of good stuff happened this past week. I want to thank you and Emma, Ryan, Sebastian, a lot of people over there, Pastor Chaba, Pastor Brian, Mahdi, many people that helped and just served, and it was awesome. Most importantly, God showed up for us. Yeah, he did. I mean, God did it all, honestly. He did it all. It was amazing. Reed, did I ask you to turn to Ephesians 1?
Yes.
Okay. Chapter 1 and verse 16. Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and he knows how important it is for us to understand, understanding our life, understanding Christ, understanding what we are part of, understanding what we do, what God has called us to do, understanding how to think, understanding love, understanding faith, understanding his plan. So he prays this way, verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Or I praying. How much? Always thanking, always being thankful for you. All the time in my prayers for you, the Ephesians. Praying for them. Maybe we pray for each other. We pray for the church that we are part of. We pray for all believers everywhere. We pray for the Hungarians and the Indians that came, and Africans, and the Germans and Swedish, and we pray and get to know each other and pray for each other. Walking into that room and the love and the joy and the sacrifice that was made to make it happen, not just that event, but the deeper things in our hearts. How did it get there? How did it get into our hearts? But the Holy Spirit puts it in your heart. In your heart, you come here on a Wednesday night, and we give our ears and our hearts to God and trust him that he will feed us and speak to us, and that we will understand what? Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Spirit. That's a big part of life, discerning spirits. What spirit are we of? Remember, Christ said that to the disciples. You know not what spirit you are of. But we have, by God's grace, not always, but we have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We get excited about Bible study. I remember when I got saved, one of the things that happened to me was I got excited about studying the Bible. I wanted to learn the Bible. I wanted to hear the Bible. I wanted a wise man, like many of the men over here, on my side over here and in the congregation. I want to hear what they say. I want that. I don't know why this happened, but I believe it's an answer to prayer, that people have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. When that spirit kind of falls on you or is in you, when that spirit leads you, when you are trusting God and you get hungry and thirsty for God, then you give your ears, have an appetite. Maybe that's a good way to say it. My ears, not my stomach has an appetite, but my ears have an appetite. Would you like to say that to your neighbor for a moment? Just say, your ears have an appetite. Go ahead. Now, like with food, we could eat garbage. Same with our ears. We could hear garbage. We could hear things that are not true. We could hear gossip. We could fill our ears with something else. And when people eat like that, they get sick. They're not healthy. When they eat the wrong stuff, and they fill their stomach with something that cannot nourish them. But when you are nourished in your understanding and your ears have an appetite, then you want to hear. Verse 20. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I remember when I heard that message. I remember when my heart was full. I remember when I went home thinking about what I heard. I remember that God was asking me to make a decision. I remember when I ate good food. I remember when I understood that thing and what that meant to me. I built my life on it. I heard it, I believed it, and I built my life on it. Imagine that. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? But I will send a famine, Amos said, Amos 8:11. I will send a famine, not of bread, but of the word of the Lord. Be aware of that, that we are in a culture where there is not the word of the Lord. There is not the conviction. There is not the understanding. We are not wise. We are not talking wisely. We are not seeing people's lives helped, but watching them be destroyed in many cases. We are watching them go from one foolish thing to another foolish thing, which happens in life. So, I'm going on a fast. I'm not eating the food of the world, but I want to eat the word from God that will change my life and help me and make me who God wants me to be. Who does God want you to be? How does it happen? By hearing. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Wow. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. Wow. To be godly, to be alive, to love, to forgive. What is the hope of our calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in us? How much he is glorified by us living with the new normal, another way. Wow. Like to taste that, to feel it, to know it in our hearts and work at it. I mean, believe it. Trust God. Trust God with all your heart. Walk by faith in him. He will show it to you. He will show it to you. He will. He will minister that to you and I. And then verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? How much power we have, what we have in us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. How much power you have in your life, how much power in your prayer, how you resist the devil and he flees from you, how you have power with God. Jacob, your name will be Israel, for you have power with God and with men. How did this happen? It was God opened our mind up and showed it to us, and we understand who we are. How much we love each other, how we have a purpose in this life, how we want revival in Europe. That was part of our prayer this past week. For God to visit the churches, for God to minister to the body of Christ and to do this in us personally. And then in verse 19, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. The great power he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenly places. What is that? That power that did that has now been given to us. That kind of power that raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand is the kind of power that we are walking in, the kind of power that we have in our lives, the kind of power that affects us deeply and changes our lives. So I want to say the Lord visited our conference and blessed us in this regard, and people went home rejoicing, and trees clapping their hands, and we understanding what we are part of and how good God is to us and what he wants to say in this wicked world. That, to be honest, the world is in trouble, as you see. The world is in trouble in many ways, but we are God's people with this hunger in our ears and this stability in our heart and attitude of faith and this relationship with his power. So we can be humble sheep in the midst of wolves. We can be God's people in a troubled world. We can be clear in our lives and in our hearts, waiting for his coming, anticipating meeting him, waiting on God in this lifetime with his presence and his grace on us. Amen. Would you pray with me just a thanksgiving? Lord, thank you so much for what this church, these faithful people, this walk of faith has given us. Thank you so much, God. Thank you, Lord. We just celebrate tonight answered prayer. And Lord, we know that there's only one reason, and that's your Son, who was raised from the dead and overcame every devil, every lie, every empty thing, every empty promise that's uttered by the lips of men, every empty program, everything that will one day collapse, Christ overcame it all and gave it to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Cheryl, can you come on up for a second? Okay. I'm just going to give some testimonies from EuroCon. Just so you know, you just think we start, like after Christmas, we start thinking about it kind of heavy, and people are praying about going. People are starting to get tickets, right? And we think about EuroCon. It was big this year. We had it back in Hungary. And actually, you know, it's like, it's us. Isn't it a miracle, like a gift from God that we have these conventions and conferences? We don't just have church. And, you know, it does so much for our churches, like in Europe, when they have the African conferences coming up. It just gathers together people. It's like we give a testimony, and it's just like, and everybody says, like, awesome. It's because you can't put it in words. There's so many different phases of a conference. Actually, one thing I just learned from a conference this year was, like, go to the whole thing, because you need to go through all the ups and downs of a conference. And you need to find God in the downtime, and then you need to be in the uptime. Don't just box out an area where you think you're strong and you can handle it. Go to the entire conference and you'll enjoy it. Maybe could you give a testimony? Sure. Just come on over. Just also, we had so many people from this church that went, right? I showed up on Tuesday night, and I thought like the conference hall was going to be half full, and it was completely full the first night. I was like, oh, wow. And then I saw so many people from Baltimore here, and it was like, I can't believe you guys, you know, value EuroCon. I used to be a missionary there, but you guys value it. It was so special to see. And then one thing was really special, the former Hungarian missionaries, you know, that went to this, to minister to the church there. That was like, it's just like love for people, love for a country. Like God put it in their heart, you know, long ago. They served there, and they still have a heart for it. The last night, Pastor Schaller, I'm giving this testimony, but Pastor Schaller, like we went to Pastor Schaller's church, and this wasn't where the main hall was. And there was like a lot of people. It was like, you know, overfilled because there's so many people from the convention. And I saw like, it was like Marty Vieter was there, like directing, like he was serving, directing people down to their seats. It was such a blessing to see like people caring for other people. It's just like, you just feel so blessed to be a part of people serving each other. It was such a blessing. And we had American pastors. Did you guys know? From Pastor Fires. We had Pastor Tom Smith. We had Pastor Chris Moore. We had Pastor Bailey. Pastor Herb. We had, help me out there, guys. Sterling Johnson was there. I probably missed, who else? The Perkins were there. David Moore was there. Yeah, like all these American pastors were there. And they, you know, they brought people from the church. A whole group came from Boiling Springs. And it's just a blessing. So, yeah, Cheryl, maybe you can give a testimony, okay?
I don't think I need to say anything. No. You know, the depth and the richness of the word goes without saying. From, you know, Monday night when Pastor Schiavelli said, whatever you think your ministry is, leave it at the door. We're going to be receiving a ministry from God and ministering back to him this week. To Pastor Schaller closing it out with a gorgeous message on learning to forgive. It was great. To the flow of the fellowship, Pastor Alshon and Erica brought 14 Azeris with them from Baku. And being able to spend time with them as often as I did throughout the week was such a personal blessing, and it was so much fun. They're so wonderful. I think we should all go to Baku. And from that to all the sweet vignettes there were during the week, you know, at my little hotel I stayed at, you know, the elderly woman who made us breakfast, we ended up being on a hug each other in the morning basis. You know, we hugged each other hello every morning. To the young man at the desk who started off not saying anything to calling after me when I left, God bless your day. And to, you know, this Romanian family I fell in love with, and they were sitting, you know, I got in a little late one for one of the services, and they were behind me, and it was Saturday, and I had all these foreigns left, you know, and I said to the little girl behind me, I thought, oh, I want to minister to them. And I said, how would you like to have all my foreigns? And thinking, you know, I'm going to really bless her. And she stopped what she was doing, and she looked at me. She couldn't have been a second over 8 years old. And she looked at me and smiled very nicely and said, you know, I think you should give those foreigns to someone who really needs them. And I'm thinking, I thought you did, you know. And then she went back to what she was doing, and I turned around, and then she tapped me on the shoulder a little while later and gave me this beautiful bookmarker that she made for me. And she said, how about giving the foreigns to the Hungarian pastor? And I was like, okay. So the next day I gave them all. I just like followed what she told me to do and gave it. And then going on the tram and everything, everybody together and trying to witness to people, you know, pointing to the ceiling and saying, Ishtan, and making a heart with your fingers, you know, like, you know, I'm trying to tell you Jesus loves you. Forget. Anyways, it was so rich and so beautiful and so much fun. I think it was the best conference ever. And I'm really, really thankful. Very, very thankful that I got to go. It was wonderful.
Thank you. Actually, that same girl, Pastor Shelley spoke in Luke 4 about healing that night, and the same girl came up, and I wrote a bunch of things I wanted for healing in my Bible, and she came and gave this to me, the same thing, a bookmark, and it says, God loves you, and I like that seals, that's how these promises, this is how healing actually happens, is through God loves us, and that people were giving like that all the time. Just a couple others, like this is something from Veronica Quirk. You know, her and Pastor Barry were there ministering for years. Just the Hungarian friends, the body members we haven't seen in close to 20 years. The fellowship was very sweet, as though no time had passed. That's the way it is at these. It's like our friendship is so close, like that. God visited us in a very special way. It was unforgettable. And these are like every, you know, isn't that how God works? They should always be the best conference ever, because this is the way God actually works. God adds, and God has the ability through his grace to do more than the last time. It's like, it's not a God that has a limited supply. And you know, all of us have travels of stories from travel, and how we got tickets, but this is about Andrew Silva and Jean Boer. Andrew needed a visa to go to Hungary. It was very last minute. He made an appointment at the embassy here. They said it would take about a week, and that would make him too late for the conference. And Jean Boer was with him making this appointment at the Hungarian embassy, and the guy told him, he asked Jean Boer what he was doing in the U.S., and Jean Boer told him that he was a Christian and that they were both attending Bible college. He got interested in hanging out, and he said maybe at the end we could exchange numbers. But after waiting there about a half an hour, he said somehow, like through a miracle, he was able to get Andrew's visas done in the same day. So it was awesome. And he asked for my name so he could find me on Facebook. Then I saw we had three mutual friends, one being Pastor Brian. I asked him where he knew Pastor Brian. He said he used to go to his American school in Budapest, okay, which turned out to be GGIS. So, you know, these are divine appointments. This is how it works. Amazing. Like Angela and Arpi saying the same thing. They're people from Vienna, Austria. They just said their daughter, I think they have like a 17-year-old daughter. Their daughter told them, a teenage daughter anyway, their daughter told them, maybe she's older than that. I shouldn't have said that. I don't know, actually. She's somewhere in that age. Angela and Arpi from Vienna, their daughters told them that they wanted to go for the whole week. Okay, they had at first only planned for a few days, but their teenage daughters convinced them to do the whole week there. It's like this is an amazing opportunity. We have our teens all interacting. We have Camp Life Europe, and we just see these teens making friends in other countries internationally. It's so beautiful to see. It's such a like a piece of armor in our lives that we have this connection to God around the world. This is something just wanted to say. This is a lot of people who are doing this, watching television, watching the screen, you know, following this live. This is a Ramona from Jerusalem with her and Benjamin, Pastor Benjamin. Wow, this Eurocon was out of this world. I mean, Benjamin and I just sat there and ate at the computer. I think she's meaning, you know, God's word. And the entire conference, whoever was doing the filming of the crowd was so amazing because as this person walked from one area to another, I felt as though I was right there walking and seeing everybody. You know, we have people working in AV that know what people want, and they're showing people. She says, I never felt so connected as I did with this conference. And then she makes a comment about a message that Pastor Schaller did in the Garden of Gethsemane that was on Wednesday night. Just the trauma that Christ went through as heaven was closing on Christ and his fellowship with his Father. And just an amazing message to listen. An amazing presence of God was in the entire place. We had a time of prayer afterwards. Just absolutely beautiful. So those are just a few testimonies of a conference that we do. There's other conferences coming up. There's one next year again. There's African conferences. There's summer conferences. We're involved. We're just, you know, and another thing, just, you know, Pastor Schaller asked like a group of people in a meeting, like, could we make this free for the Hungarians? And it was free for the Hungarians. It's a sacrifice that, you know, you guys all made for a church there in Hungary. Those are things that our church actually does for people, so people can hear the word of God. So they didn't have to think about like registering and paying money. They just could come freely to the conference. Like, those are sacrifices that, you know, it's just like, we want people to hear the word of God. So that's Eurocon. Talk to people that were there. Listen to their stories. Just absolutely amazing. Thank you.
Okay, just take a moment and fellowship with each other for a minute, and we'll give a short message, and so just share with each other a little bit. Say, I'm really thankful, and like the spirit that we have is, you know, so precious, so we're just thankful. You're free to talk for a minute if you want, or pray.
Okay, I've got one gem, I think. I don't know. Lord, bless this message. 10 minutes, maybe 12. Doesn't matter how long or short, right? I just got to get it, right? I want to get a gem. Okay. Humility. I think when you were talking right now with Thanksgiving and just talking to each other for a minute, after hearing Cheryl, Pastor Gary, and those testimonies, that we are thankful. One of the roots at thankfulness is humility. When you are humble, you are thankful. They go together. And I think we are a congregation that worships and is thankful and relates to life like this. Like, God, thank you what you do in my life, in our lives, in everyday life. Just getting up in the morning, we are thankful. How about breakfast today? Wasn't it good? It was very good. That piece of bread I had was very good. There was even some butter on it. Okay, now, the other part of life is very common, and that is pride. So I want to say a couple of things about that and then a couple of things about humility. So turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we have a tendency in all of us for pride, spiritual pride, kind of feeling. Do I have my iPad? I draw a little picture here. Feeling privileged, feeling honored. Many of us are very privileged in life. Like we have, maybe you could say, you take a man or a woman, anybody, just Mr. X, and he might be in a high place somehow by way of his life, his health, his position, his money, his reputation. Let's say a doctor at Hopkins got the whole thing operating, very highly distinguished and honored person. But that person could also be humble. But here's the thing. Here's somebody of a lower status. We could even say very low life. Maybe uneducated, unemployed, poor, maybe bad habits, not so well. Does this man, can he love somebody different from him? What do we mean by love? Sacrifice. The words go together. Sacrifice. If he loved him and could identify with him and care about him, his friends might say to him up here, don't get associated with him. Don't get associated with that guy. Why are you with that guy? Why do you care about that guy? If you associate with him, you might lose something. You might lose your reputation. You might lose your status. You might lose your honor, and so on. This is very typical, very common. People will say, I love, but they don't. Same with this whole this hunger for social justice. They talk about justice, but do they love? It's easy to talk about justice, but it's another thing to talk about love and sacrifice. Sacrifice. But proud people can't sacrifice. They protect. They have to protect themselves. But humble people run a risk. Humble people run a risk. They can identify and sacrifice and say, I don't care about losing my honor. I am a doctor at Hopkins, but that is not my life. I have something else in my life. I have Christ in my life. I have the Spirit of God in my life. I have love in my heart. That person is important. that person. Yeah, I care about them. So I think this message could really go somewhere. Maybe sometime in the future we can go over it a little bit more. But I want to make a couple points. 2 Corinthians 11 in verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So we have false apostles. They are not the real thing. They are not the real thing. If you take our picture here and you put Christ there, Christ is the Son of God, high, high, and he's in heaven with God, but he humbles himself to be with us and sacrifice. What does he sacrifice? He sacrifices his a privilege to be God. He becomes a sinner. He becomes a servant. He sacrifices himself. He is humble. He is humble. God is with him in his humility. The Bible says that the God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So this doctor so-and-so, whoever he is, he has no problem coming and being with this man in order to help him, to sacrifice his reputation or his personhood is not a problem to him because he is spirit-filled. He is not protecting himself. He is loving. He is able to show up. He is able to impart something to the man. He is able to love the man. Not in word only. Like, it's easy to say it on the hilltop that you love or you want social justice or whatever the thing might be. But it's another thing to be actually in the game, to actually be humble before God, and God brings you there. And that's what you will see in your life when you are spirit-filled. You're able to love, because the fruit of the Spirit is love. And you're able to be there, or you're able to love in your heart people that are different from you, or people that are maybe even a risk, or people that are in a prison, or people that have problems, or people that are unemployed, or people that are begging for money, or people that are not that way, but are somehow you are able to do this because this is the nature of God. This is something to think about. Okay. So we have false apostles, and the idea is you could put in there the word pride. Verse 14. No marvel, it's not a surprise, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Loaded verse. Satan is light, okay? This is what it's saying. He is not light in this sense God is light, but he is an angel of light. He has the ability to appear as a beam of light. Now, if we put a box here like this, like the light, just to say, the light, Satan is like this box. Inside him is dark, but on the outside there is light. Do you see that? But Satan inside, he is a liar. Satan is a murderer and a thief, and he's a false light because he's proud. The pride, he doesn't love. He cannot love. Now go to God, and this is interesting. God is light and no darkness at all. So you could say, actually, God is light on the outside and but God is light on the inside. No darkness at all. In the same way with us as people, we could give the impression of light, but inside is self, it's pride, it's me protecting myself, me protecting my life, my reputation, me protecting my benefits, my advantages, me protecting, not loving. I cannot love. I can be a false apostle and have the message of religion, but not have the ability to be humble. I don't have that ability. I cannot be humble without Christ. Christ is humble. Let's look at that and we'll finish. Turn to Philippians 2 and... what does this have to do with? It has a lot to do with body life. Philippians 2. And we have the humility. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Imagine being with a group of people and everybody is esteeming everybody else better. They actually care about the other and think about them as you don't think of yourself as much as you think of how they are. How they are. They actually... You know, that's an incredible thing for human beings to do that. But this is body life. Body life is a fellowship of humility and thanksgiving and spiritual life and blessing. We saw it. You know, it isn't in word only, but it is what you see. You see a body member, you see their love, their quietness, their gentleness, their sacrifice. And when we are in fellowship, like at a convention, and I'm thinking about our patio out there as the weather warms up and how much we like to be together and talk a little bit and have a coffee and fellowship, and then I'm thinking of graduation and also a convention coming up and June 20th, and what happens at those times. What is it? Verse 3, it says, we esteem other better, and look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know, Others, how are you? Others, how far did you travel? Others, how is your mother? Others, are you okay? Do you have enough? What is there anything I can do for you? Others, isn't that amazing? When we live in a world when people on the outside are talking about things, but on the inside, you have this authority in your heart, and you actually, we love, you know, and here we have humility. Verse 5, and we can finish. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. There it is. Lord Jesus, we don't even notice you. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, the people who came to arrest him needed to know which one it was in the dark. They didn't want to arrest the wrong person. They wanted to make sure, so they needed somebody to kiss him to identify who he was, somebody that would know him, and that was Judas who did that. And I kind of think of it that Jesus wasn't so identifiable in the crowd by himself, that he was one of us, that he humbled himself and became one of us. And he did it because, not pride, he did it out of love. He was humble. And he would run the risk of losing in order to gain, but even not sure about the gain, like we can't make a deal with God and say, I will lose if my gain is greater. It has to be, I will lose because that's your nature. I can run the risk. You love me, so I can love others. And in that love, there is a fellowship of love. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, and that is actually the very essence of God, though it thought it not harpazo to grasp at being God. You know how a rich man could be grasping at being rich, having the riches, keeping them for himself. Jesus is God, but he's not grasping for trying to. Robbery is like a snatching it that I am God. Everybody must recognize that I am God. Everybody give me your attention. I am God. He didn't do that. He was okay losing that in the sense of people not understanding him. And he was okay with sacrificing himself for us. So verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. In history, there have been kings who have come down from their throne in the evening, put on the clothes of a beggar, walked out in the street, to walk through the little cottages and find out how the people are, what they were thinking, and who they were. And he was the king, but they didn't recognize him as the king. But imagine this story, this doctrine. He lost, and he became a servant, and the death of the cross in verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He was very humble. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Even the death of the cross, not to die only, but even the death of the cross. This is what is in our mind. Let's finish. This man who is privileged is not protecting himself, but he is loving. He is willing to sacrifice something for somebody else. He loves them. This is our fellowship. When that spirit, the Spirit of God is in us, when that mind is in us, we love each other. It's mutual, it's reciprocal. It happens with us, and that we really love each other. We don't have to protect ourselves. We just have the blessing of God on our life. And may it always be the way we live and how we think. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, we have found your Holy Spirit in us so that we can love in deed and truth. We can actually find our brothers and sisters in this life, and other unbelievers we can find what it means to serve unbelievers and care about unbelievers, and not and willing to sacrifice something for the sake of unbelievers, to love them, to go to them, to listen to them, to share with them, to give them something, maybe our time, our interest, our attention, maybe a gift or an effort or a project or something for the unbeliever, to serve the unbeliever, because we can afford to do that, because our life is not our own. We have lost our life at the cross, and now you will fill us with your Spirit. Lead us and teach us in this, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. One last prayer with me, please. If you are here and you're not a believer in Christ, would you come to Jesus tonight? Could you just come to Jesus by faith? You might be afraid of Jesus. Just come by faith. You might say, I'm not sure I believe. Just come to him by faith. Come by faith. There are answers for you. God will help you. God will wash your sins away and give you a new heart, a new spirit. Just say that prayer, Lord Jesus, come into my life and save me. In Christ's name, amen.